You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley, how are you this morning?
Morena, and happy New Zealand Sign Language Week.
Oh, fantastic. We can't communicate with each other in that this morning, but I didn't know it was New Zealand Sign Language Week, and that's awesome, so thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, I've been practicing my sign language, and I can say good morning and hello. And so I think it's really good. It's one of our official languages, and it's important, I think, for everyone to give it a go, and this week is what it's all about, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's great to chat with you. There's been some massive headlines this week around Auckland Council, particularly with our relationship to water care. We're having a financial divorce, I've seen some people referring to it. In the headlines, this is coming in, I guess, the wake of all the discussions around Three Waters and what that might have meant for Auckland if that was going to be something that the government pursued. Obviously, new government, and that is not being pursued. But we're seeing now that it's being separated, water care is being separated from Auckland Council, and they will be able to borrow from central government or use sort of a relationship with central government and borrow from banks. It's going to be quite a different setup. It works perhaps for us, not for the rest of the country, as we've been seeing people discuss. What does it actually mean for Aucklanders, though, and their water bills?
Well, I think it means a lot for Auckland, actually, because Auckland Council, look, both last term under the last mayor and this one, never liked the Three Waters, right? We are different. We acknowledge the way that we have been set up is different, and water care has actually been really effective. So what we've ended up with is pretty much what we've always asked for, which is fabulous. It is not Three Waters, it's Two Waters. It acknowledges that drinking water and wastewater will remain with water care, and then the storm water, which sort of comes from parks and roading networks and stuff, which is more council orientated, will stay with us. So first of all, that's separated. So it's no longer Three Waters. It's really what we would call Two Waters. It really is what we would say we already have in so much the structure of water care, which is one of our CCO. And, you know, in so much, we have oversight of those activities through things like our statement of intent. They respond to us every quarter on their financial activity. We obviously do audits with them, etc., and we appoint people onto their boards. And we have a councillor that attends the board meetings as well, as a sort of an extra sort of watchdog, for want of a better word. Mm-hmm. But the extra things that this new local water done well has added is a crown monitor. So someone from the Crown will sit and observe what happens in water care, and that's important. And then, of course, there's the economic regulator to ensure that water care runs efficiently and delivers value for money, which we all think is a good thing as well. I just want to say, Rachel, that Aucklanders are some of the most efficient water users in the country because we are metered, all right? So you only pay for what you use.
This is,
and I think, you know, yeah, this is really important.
This is true. One thing that's been flagged as, you know, something that maybe in the future could potentially be an issue is that neither the council nor the Crown is going to be liable for bailout if water care does get into some sort of financial trouble. So what does that mean if there is an issue with water care in the future? You know, how is that going to be resolved if there's not necessarily that responsibility relationship between either central or local government?
Yeah, look, okay, the first thing is, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the fact that the debt comes off our books, all right? I think that's really important because that gives us more flexibility to borrow to do the things that we need to do. It actually gives water care the ability to borrow more for the things that they do. They need to do it. Let's face it, they need to do a lot, right? And we do need a very strong investment in water infrastructure to take us forward. And this deal basically frees up, I think it's about $1.9 million a year extra in debt. So to get that debt, you're going to have to do, like you do if you need debt for a home, you're going to have to go elsewhere for it. You can't go to Auckland Council. We are free of that debt. Yippee. And you don't necessarily go to the Crown, you go externally. The checks and balances, just like in a mortgage, I suppose, to make sure that you are able to pay it back, that it's spread over for a decent amount of time, and there is the real financial checks in there are important. And look, I think between the Crown and us, we don't think it'll ever get to a point that they will fail, because there is too many steps along the way to get to that point. I had a chat with the Watercare chair last night about this. And I suppose ultimately, she's confident, and we're pretty confident that it won't get to that point, because there will be so many checks and balances. We will know well ahead of the game before a disaster strike.
That's really good to hear and encouraging for sure. But I think what critics are flagging as a potential concern here is if it did get to that stage, obviously it sounds like there's a lot of good steps to prevent it getting there, but if it did get to that case, what is the nature of it not having that same responsibility to, I guess, public entities in the same, oversight, I mean, from public entities that it currently has? That's not something that you're concerned about by the sounds of it?
Just run that by me again, because we still own the assets, right? Auckland does still own the assets, so it's not going anywhere else. But if it ultimately, look, the Crown, I mean, that's what their monitor is there to do. Ultimately, the Crown, it's just not Auckland Council's problem, that sounds awful, it's not my problem. But I mean, ultimately, I think ultimately the government would step in and assist.
So is that a conversation that's been had between local and central government about if it ever did get to that worst case scenario? Is that something that's been discussed or tabled at the moment?
I wasn't in the room when the final discussions were done between the minister and the mayor, so I can't say that for sure.
No, all right.
I can't.
Well, let's talk about bins, because that's another thing that's changing around Tāmaki Makaurau. Lots of cost-cutting exercises going on at the moment. One of them is a reduction of local bins, public bins in local areas. We are seeing a bit of a disparity in what areas are getting their bins removed to like a greater extent. West and South Auckland, broadly speaking, are going to see a lot less bins in public spaces. I've seen the New Zealand Herald is saying that the Ōtara Papatoetoe local board is set to lose about 41% of their local bins, which kind of leaves it with one bin per 328 people. This does sound like a potential mess in the making here. What's the logic for this one, Desley?
Okay, I think it was a great policy implemented badly. The theory was right. Let's go back and talk about how this happened. So when the mayor proposed his first annual budget, right, staff suggested that he put in it to get rid of underutilised rubbish bins, all right? In other words, bins that were hardly ever full. We had all these bins. It was costing us to pick them up. They weren't full very often. So why don't you look at getting rid of the underutilised bins? That sounded sensible, right? So, but the savings was actually $1.4 million a year. So it wasn't a lot per year, but of course you put it over 10 years or 8 years, it's about $9.5 million. So because town centres and parks sat within local board delegations, each of the 21 local boards were asked for their input on it. Now, only, I think, 4 wanted to keep their bins and did, with the rest sort of either giving no feedback or agreeing. So the proposal went through, but obviously there have been a lot of issues.
Before we move on from there, Desi, is that the public or is that the actual local board being canvassed there?
No, they're not the public, the local board.
Okay.
So the staff went to local boards and said, look, this is our idea, so this, what do you think? And as I said, no one really said no to the theory. If a bin wasn't being used and you could save some money, remove it, right? The theory was there. But actually, location, 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 to quote Brent Slater, was the key thing here. So, and there's been a lot of pushback now. Some bins have gone from places which have obviously just not, well, have been wrong. I mean, a lot of people can see that. So last week at our governing body, councillors had an extensive discussion about how the bins have been implemented. And I think there was general agreement, as I've said, that getting rid of underutilised bins was a good idea. A lot of places around the world put that personal responsibility, but implementation hasn't gone well. So what we put through was the motion to get staff to come back looking at the focus on town centres, high-use playgrounds, high-use local parks, and reserve entry points around parks, and including any advice on what the financial implications were if those bins were to be replaced. And look, I know in my own local board area, some have gone from some really stupid places. I think there have been some mistakes.
Mm.
So it's having another re-look because, you know, I think, it's the theory's right. We should be trying to be good with our rubbish, but implementation has been a bit poor.
So it is going to be re-looked at, which is, I'm sure there'll be some communities relieved to hear that. Is there going to be any public consultation or any discussion with you know, community stakeholders about what they are seeing as useful in their community spaces?
I think that's the role of local boards. So local boards, as I said, in most of the places that are causing us grief are things that the local board monitors, i.e. town centres and local parks, right? And so it's up to them to decide whether they go further into their stakeholder groups or just, I mean, sometimes some of these bin replacements or returns are just in some very obvious, sensible places.
Mm.
I mean, for example, if you go into a dairy and you're buying an ice cream, not an ice cream, a wrapped ice block or something like that, you remove the wrapper, what happens? You know, there should be, and most, there was one out in one of my local Super X. They had the one right outside their store removed, and yet there was one about sort of seven steps away, and they should have removed that one, unless the one outside, that's where people put their rubbish when they have an ice cream. You know? Mm.
So it's going to be an interesting one to see how this rolls out, but I'm glad to hear it is being revised. I think that's probably all we've got time for this morning, Desley, but just before we let you go, there are some great bike initiatives that are happening around town for kids at the moment. Just to, if there are people who want to find out more about that, where can they go and what's it all about at the moment, Desley?
Yeah, look, kids learning to ride is key, isn't it? We want kids to be able to get around safely, and riding a bike is part of a bit of a riding passage, isn't it, sort of one? So, Boston Transport are running a number of events, and they're all at courses and events at at.govt.nz. And the Kids Learn to Ride one, there's one this weekend in Avondale. The following weekend, there's one in Wynyard Quarter. And the weekend after one, that there is in Devonport. They're for 2 hours, usually 10 to 12 on a Saturday. You could just rock on up, bring your bike if you've got one, but if you haven't, Auckland Transport operator that's doing this will have some available for the kids. There's no need to book.
Fab.
Just rock on up and that can learn how to ride their bike.
Awesome. Thank you, Desley. Great to speak with you this morning. We'll talk to you again in a fortnight. Kia ora.
Thank you. Kia ora.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.